Welcome to the Fantasy Football Foursome. The Foursome answer your questions about players to pick up, players to drop, weekly matchups, injury reports, and current trends in fantasy football. Now, here's the host of the Fantasy Football Foursome, John Jennings.
Good Saturday morning. It is week three of the NFL season and time for another edition of the Fantasy Football Foursome. The show is brought to you every single week by Ruff's Wings and Sports Bar, the United States Marine Corps, ACC Midwest Transportation, and West Central Trophies. Let's introduce who is on the show today. Lyle, what's happening?
Lyle's in the house today trying to take down Justin Havemeyer. I get a matchup against the champ. Hopefully I can get back to 2-1 in the Loon League.
Justin, what's going on?
Well, I wish Lyle all the best of luck from week forward on. Until the playoffs start, but not this week. 2-0. I plan to go 3-0. And as I've said from the beginning, and as I said last year, I'm going to be the first three-time Lombardi winner.
Well, I am 0-2 with this lineup. Jalen Hurts, Ken Walker, Josh Kelly, Jamar Chase, Mike Williams, Mark Andrews. I am 0-2 with that lineup. I don't even know what to say about that. I feel like I drafted just fine. My guys just aren't scoring any points. Jamar Chase. Hello, Jamar Chase, anytime you're ready to go. For the next hour, we're going to be talking about all there is to talk about in the world of fantasy football. Our goal is to help you win your league, and if we can answer any fantasy football-related questions for you, that Loon text line is the way to find us. It's 320-434-1234, and it's time for the ACC Midwest Transportation Injury Report, which I am going to have to burn through. There are so many. Joe Burrow, be careful this week. Burrow's got a Monday night game, hurt his calf, not looking good. Keep an eye on his status. Anthony Richardson, concussion protocol. I don't know the status of it right now. If you guys do, just feel free to cut me off. Nick Chubb, yikes. I think if you're in the world of fantasy football, you know what happened there. They didn't even replay the injury. Nick Chubb out for the season. Austin Eckler still nursing a high ankle sprain again Sunday. Tomorrow morning, you check and see what happens. I don't think Eckler's a go. Aaron Jones has a hamstring. He's 50-50 right now, likely to miss. Derrick Henry has probably some mild turf toe. Didn't practice, I know, on Thursday. Keep an eye on that. David Montgomery has a quad bruise. He is probably out week three, probably returns in week four. Isaiah Pacheco, hamstring bruise in week two. He should be okay to go. Kenneth Gainwell. Gainwell's dealing with a rib. Both could play in week three, but that probably doesn't matter with DeAndre Swift. Amon-Ra St. Brown, turf toe, likely a 50-50 for week three. Jalen Waddle, concussion protocol. I don't think he's a go this week. DK Metcalf should play. He had a rib deal. Christian Watson, he could be back this week. Again, keep an eye on that. Devontae Adams, I think he cleared concussion protocol. I'm not for sure on that. Jerry Jeudy looks healthy again. DeAndre Hopkins, mild high ankle, not 100% for sure. Keep an eye on that situation. Travis Kelce looks good back on the field. Mark Andrews has a quad strain. He's getting closer to 100%. Pat Freiermuth, chest injury, likely a rib bruise, not 100%. They'll put the flak jacket on, I'm sure. Hard to trust that situation. And along the lines of team defenses, Dallas. You got to be kidding me. Still doing one-on-ones throughout the week. Trayvon Diggs tears his ACL out for the year. Well, we got a couple things to talk about, and let's just, because we are in Minnesota, Lyle, Cam Akers, a new Viking, joins the team. Cam Akers from the Rams gets traded over.
I'm not all that excited about this. I think the stats are funny. I think Madison and Akers have pretty much virtually the same stats if you look at them, like yards per carry. They've been streaky. They've been backups. They've been parts of back ends of committees. But whenever they've really been given the lead role, neither one of them has really, for more than a game or two, flourished. So I'm not sure what to expect with Cam. Probably a lot of the same that Madison provided probably in past years. He's been pretty awful the first two games here. So I don't think they can get much worse by adding Cam Akers.
Justin, we remember the good old days, it seems like, when it comes to guys like Zeke Elliott or the newly signed Kareem Hunt or Cam Akers. I don't think this affects Madison a whole lot. I think he's still the number one, for whatever that means. He hasn't been that good. But what's your take on it?
Yeah, I mean, everything, it's a mashup of what kind of you and Lyle are saying, in that this is kind of the way forward in the NFL. We've seen teams win Super Bowls with very nondescript, a bunch of guys that are good, but they're not great. They're not exciting. They're slightly above average, maybe, right? But they're reliable, you know, ball security. Both of these guys can catch the ball out of the backfield. Both of them are serviceable in pass blocking. I think what's more important is, yeah, Madison has been awful. I mean, he has no yards after contact whatsoever. So I'm excited that Akers just gives us another option. They signed Risner also. The offensive line hasn't been great either. So I think that'll help. I mean, with how good this passing game is, and I like that they're not abandoning the run, but they're also not banging their head against the wall either, right? They're doing what they have to move the ball downfield in games. The offense has not been the problem. Obviously minus all the turnovers in week one. So I like it. They got it for nothing. In fact, it's like the Rams gave us a pick to take him, and it's in 2026. It's this, how low value, close to free, could you possibly get in a trade? Here is Cam Akers and our seventh round pick 3 years from now. Just give us a sixth round pick 3 years from now.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And it's conditional. He still has to like get like 500 yards or something like that. So anyway,
yeah,
it's weird.
A guy who knows O'Connell's system.
I'm more excited about the Risner signing, right?
I am too.
That got me more pumped up. But they needed depth.
And anyway, I hope they play him at left guard and move Cleveland to right. That's what I hope they do.
Yeah.
It makes sense. Nwango is still out. I think that injury is worse than they thought. It's taking longer than they thought. So then what do you have? You have Ty Chandler and Alexander Mattison. You're one injury away from a pretty sketchy backup running back situation. So it's as much for depth as well. I'll tell you, I mean, would you rather have Kareem Hunt or Cam Akers?
I would rather have Cam Akers because he knows O'Connell's system.
And we watched Kareem Hunt look toast last year. And we watched Cam Akers actually get better and better as he got further and further removed from that injury.
Yep, I like this move. I'm number one quarterback in fantasy football, Kirk O'Chains. Huh? Who'd have thought that after 2 weeks? All right. We've got on the show, as always, we've got our Trenchum and Benchum segment. We've got the United States Marine Corps Waiver Wire Warriors. And up next, we're going to talk daily fantasy news and strategy. It's the Fantasy Football Foursome. We're back on the Fantasy Football Foursome, and Jack Culbertson has now joined us. And it's time to talk daily fantasy news and strategy. Jack, anything to say about your 2-0 Atlanta Falcons and soon-to-be Coach of the Year, Arthur Smith?
Well, count your Kyle Pitts targets. You can do it on one hand. They're winning the game, obviously, by running the ball, but you know, my argument at the beginning of the year with him being a bad coach is, how are you going to draft Kyle Pitts and have Drake London on your team and you barely target him? Now, Drake saw some targets, got a touchdown, good game for him. But he's a prolific receiver. Kyle Pitts should be a top five tight end, and it's like he's not even on the field. So, hey, they're winning ugly. You know, it's paper championship kind of stuff. It won't hold up, but let's see what happens.
Bijan Robinson, the real deal. Let's talk daily fantasy news and strategy for week three of the NFL season, and let's kick it off with quarterbacks. Lyle, what do you got?
I think if I was going to save a few bucks, I'm going to go Geno Smith. They got a home matchup against the Panthers. Panthers aren't very good at all. And Geno had one of his better games. Looked like he was more 2022 style last week, putting up over 300 yards. And he's at $5,700. So I'm rolling with Geno.
Geno would be my first play as well. Justin, what do you got for quarterbacks?
So I'm spending some money this week at quarterback because there's only 2 weeks into the NFL season. And it's a little early to try and predict like a value play for me. I like Lyles, but I'm going to go with Justin Herbert because I'm obviously going to do a stack with him playing against the Vikings this week. He's 7,500, and everyone listening is probably in the state of Minnesota or close to it and has seen the Vikings secondary and defense get a little bit torched here in the first couple of weeks. So still somehow I think playing better than I thought they would, but they're a good matchup. So $7,500 for Justin Herbert.
Quarterbacks, Jack.
Yeah, I'm going to go save you one extra hundred and say Matthew Stafford. And I tried to stick under $6,000 and didn't want to repeat the names. But if I'm going to spend money this week, I might even go with a Kirk Cousins, $6,900. But Stafford at like $5,600 Monday night against the Bengals, who have looked terrible. So I think, you know, 1 week, good value play.
I'm with you on all the picks. I like Cousins against the Chargers. That's the highest over-under, I think, of the week. I do like Geno Smith against Carolina. If I had to throw out one other name, and I can't believe I'm going to say this, it's Russell Wilson at $5,900 against Miami. And the only reason why is more than likely they're going to be throwing the ball a lot to catch up with Miami. I don't know. I think he's going to have real low ownership, and that's also nice for GPP. Running backs, Justin, what do you got?
I took a couple KWs here, fellas with the same initials, both similarly priced. I took Kenneth Walker III at $6,200 against Carolina's 30th ranked defense against running backs in fantasy football. And then the red hot Kyren Williams, the LA Rams playing against Cincinnati, who's also not been great against run and gives me a player in Monday night's game as well. And he is $5,500.
Jack, running backs?
Well, if I've got the cash, I'm spending the $8,000 on Tony Pollard against Arizona. You know, I'm sure that's probably the chalk speaking there. If you want to save some money, you can go with Warren out of Pittsburgh, traveling to Las Vegas. Najee Harris, non-factor, which is really sad. Picked up Warren in a couple of leagues because I like Najee Harris and he's got a good story. I hope he finds a way to get productive on the field. But you can get Warren for, you know, right around the $5,000 mark. What is he going for? 56, something like that. I mean, he's cheap.
$4,900. I have him in my flex spot.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah, I think the Jalen Warren ship is about to sail. I agree with that. Lyle, running backs.
I'm going Raheem Mostert, Miami. He had more carries. I know a lot of his points have been touchdown based so far in the year, but the usage is good too. He had 18 carries last week. They're hosting. I think they're going to try to run the ball and play in the heat in Miami. Give that Denver defense a good work. I think Mostert can produce at 6,000. And I just like Zach Moss as a volume play. He was getting all the snaps and all the touches for Indianapolis. And now with their quarterback situation being a little ugly this week, he could be a good play at $5,500.
I got three of them for you. And this is why it's so important to set your lineups tomorrow morning after watching what the injury report says. Joshua Kelly against our Vikings. If Eckler doesn't go, and I don't think he will, $5,400. That's a bargain. A.J. Dillon, if Aaron Jones doesn't go, A.J. Dillon goes up against New Orleans and $5,700 there. And then the last one, which I wouldn't expect too much from, this is just this guy's going to get the ball a lot. Let's hope something breaks. Jerome Ford, who I'm sure we'll talk about in the next segment, going up against Tennessee, a great run defense. But Jerome Ford, only $4,800. Wide receivers, Jack.
Well, there's a slew of them, John. You know, if you got your money, just go with Jefferson and Hill and then pick a scrub. If you want to get a piece of the Minnesota Charger game, but you don't want to spend the money on Jefferson, I think you can get Addison in there. You know, I don't know if we want to start referring to him as the poor man's Justin Jefferson, but at $5,500, knowing that he's got the speed to still get it done and that he's not going to draw quite as much of attention against the secondary that is not good, and a Minnesota team desperate to win. I mean, they got to win this game to have any momentum or hope from the fan base or whatever. $5,500 for Jordan Addison. I'd get him in there. But if you don't have Hill or Jefferson or some combination of that, I think it's going to be difficult to find a winner. Those guys should ball out this week.
Lyle, wide receivers?
Yeah, I think I'm going to go Nico Collins. I think in targets all season, he's at fifth overall in the NFL. And production's been pretty good, too. He's been averaging 22 fantasy points, and he's at $5,300. His value keeps going up each week, and I think the production is here to stay because Houston's going to be in a lot of game situations where they're losing, and I think that'll be the same this week at Jacksonville.
Justin, wide receivers.
So the first one is admittedly pure gut and just feeling like at a certain point talent is going to rise to the top. I'm putting A.J. Brown in against Tampa Bay. I feel like he's due. It's been 2 weeks. He's been noticeably frustrated on the sideline. You know, he hasn't been outspoken, but you can kind of see it. I feel like Jalen Hurts finds a way to get him the ball this week against Tampa Bay. He's $7,700. I got Keenan Allen for the stack with Herbert in that game, old reliable. And then I'm going to roll the dice on Josh Reynolds. It's a tough matchup against Atlanta, but he's priced right for me. At 4,200, he's the most recognizable name I saw in that range, and he has been great the first couple of weeks. So, I don't think he'll win me the week, but he's not going to tank my overall score either. So I got Josh Reynolds in there for 4,200.
I'm going to pick on the same games you guys did, but I got some different names. I think the play of the week in the Chargers Vikings game is Mike Williams. And I think he's cheaper than Keenan Allen. Sure he is. He's 1,600 cheaper than Allen. He's 6,000. I really, really like him in this game against the Purple. And then the Houston-Jacksonville game, I'm going to tell you to try Tank Dell. He's only 3,600 bucks. Last week, 7 receptions, 72 yards, 1 score. He got you 20 fantasy points if for some reason you started him. And I know he weighs 111 pounds, but they have to throw, and they will have to throw in this game. Even though Jacksonville kind of laid an egg last week, I think this is a different story. And I think Tank Dell, I like the Nico Collins call. I'm just playing Tank Dell because he's 3,600 bucks, and I like the value there. How about tight ends, Lyle?
Strict volume play. I'm going to keep going with it. Zach Ertz, 3,500 bucks. Going to be losing to Dallas. And he's had pretty much the most targets among tight ends. He's 18 targets already. So he had a little bit more production in week two than he did in week one with those targets. So I think he's getting as many looks as a tight end possibly can get. Go with Ertz.
Justin, tight ends.
I'm going to go with Dalton Kincaid, 3,400 bucks for Buffalo. Good targets the first couple of weeks. I think he finds his way into the end zone against a bad Washington team right now. So $3,400 for Dalton Kincaid.
Jack.
Yeah, I'm going to keep rolling kind of like what Lyle said, but I'm going to keep going with Hunter Henry. He's had 6 and 7 targets in his last two games, respectively, touchdown in each game. $4,100. Now, they are playing the Jets, but I don't think Belichick cares. If you want to save an extra $100, I also think Laporta from Detroit with Atlanta going to Detroit is a really safe pick. Detroit could have their offense could come out and put up some big points pretty quick.
I love the Zach Ertz call. That would be my first choice at $3,500. I think he's going to have high ownership if you're playing in GPPs. I'm just looking down my list here. Kincaid at 3,400. I like that call. I like Jake Ferguson. He's turned it into an NFL tight end, and he's still 3,600. It's like it's been in for the last, 5, 6 years, just tight end roulette. You're just hoping somebody scores. Ertz is just the guy getting the targets right now. But again, I'm a little worried about the ownership, but I think he's a chalky cash play for sure. Let's roll through defenses quick. Justin, what do you got?
I love this play this week because they're one of the cheaper priced defenses. I'm not sure why, but I'm taking the Jets at home against New England. Listen, Mac Jones he's throwing the ball downfield. But it looks terrible because he does not have a single receiver that can create separation on his team. Not one. Devontae Parker is a 50-50 ball guy. He's trying to fit it in there, but it looks ugly, and the Jets are going to hawk a couple of those shots that Mac Jones takes, I think, in this game. $2,800.
Jack, defenses.
Well, given as that you're not really penalized for some of the defensive play, if you want to just save a bunch of money, I think you can get Arizona against Dallas because Prescott's just not looked good. But if I have the money, I'm going to take Dallas against Arizona. If I still get the $4,400, I'm spending the money and going in all the way with those guys. Their defense has just been lights out. Only other one I might consider, John, would be Rams at Cincy, depending on who starts at quarterback, because they've really looked terrible.
Lyle, defenses.
I like that Jets call. I couldn't believe they were $2,800. I know New England has played some decent football, but I think for them to be in the bottom 10 for pricing, I think the Jets are the best value. And Dallas, of course, if you got the money, I like Jack's call too.
Hey, Lyle, do you think the Jets might be because there's a lot of turnover possibility from Zach Wilson? And, I mean, that defense is going to have some scoring opportunities, some interceptions, some fumble recovery. You know what I mean?
Ugh. Yeah, that the defense, their offense sabotages their own defense. I guess it could be, but I think,
yeah, so they may be in some precarious positions because of it.
Zach,
I think
Wilson.
Last week that was more of the factor. I think this week, I don't think New England's rolling up 30 points on this Jets D, though.
I will give you quickly, I like the Bills against Washington at 2,900. I also like Tennessee at Cleveland if you want to spend $3,000 on a defense. We're going to come back on the Fantasy Football Foursome and talk to the United States Marine Corps Waiver Wire Warriors. Thanks for joining us this morning. Thanks for joining us this morning on the Fantasy Football Foursome. I want to talk about one of our great sponsors. That's West Central Trophies. Our Lombardi proudly sits right here in our Uptown Wilmer studio location. If you ever want to come take a look at it and take a picture of it and bring that over to West Central Trophies and say, hey, my league needs one of these. It's just a few, well, if you play for money, we don't here at the Loon, but if you do, it's just a little chunk out of that, your dues, and you've got something that can travel. And people want to show this thing off and say that they are the champion, and, you know, they have it in their office or in their house for the year or whatever they do with it. You can get a trophy of your own. Just go to West Central Trophies. They're a great local business. Nathan and the staff over there just do a fantastic job. And just go to westcentraltrophies.com. They're a North Business 71 right here in Wilmer. Also want to tell you, if there's anything we can help you with today, with your fantasy football lineups, trades, anything like that, shoot us a text, 320-434-1234. All right, waiver wire. There's still plenty out there, guys. In fact, I look at some of these percentages, and it's kind of makes me scratch my head. I can't believe some of the stuff that is available. Quarterbacks, Lyle, what are you seeing?
Yeah, I noticed the same thing. I think there's one in particular, Jordan Love. It's the guy
yes. I
went to bat for last week. He's still available in about half of ESPN leagues. I'm sure it's pretty similar with Yahoo and other providers, but yeah, he's being rostered less than Daniel Jones, Russell Wilson, Deshaun Watson. I mean, at this point, I'm taking Love. Why not? He's number three quarterback overall and still hasn't gotten to work with his best weapon, Christian Watson. So I think there's still more potential.
I agree. Justin, quarterbacks.
Yeah, I agree with that. Jared Goff is still available in almost half of leagues as well. Listen, people got to move past this whole like Rams and the Detroit. I don't know what it is. It's fantasy football. You can count on the guy when he plays at home. And hopefully you don't got to start him when he's on the road, right? Just he is who yep. he is, but he's valuable as a quarterback. Long play. CJ Stroud has looked pretty good here through the first couple weeks. He is slinging the football around the field. His offensive line is so bad. I mean, so bad. He's making Nico. We're talking about Nico Collins and Tank Dell, and it's because C.J. Stroud is getting them the ball. So a little bit of a longer play. If you're in a bigger league, he's available in 90% of leagues. So
Houston beefs up their offensive line and then promptly loses four of them. It's actually kind of a shame. Jack, quarterbacks?
They set them all. I mean, the only other one out there that's still available that has any value would be Stafford or Mayfield, but I think you go for Love, Goff, and then Stroud in that order. Those are my three.
Last one for me. He's 11th, ranked 11th, Sam Howell. I mean, you can get yourself a top 12 quarterback. Yes, it's against Buffalo. Up next, Philadelphia. This is kind of maybe a stash play if you've got two quarterback leagues or a deeper league. But then week five, Chicago, you know, or bye week blues. But right now he's 11th ranked quarterback. And Riverboat Ron and Eric Bieniemy getting the job done in Washington. Running backs, Justin.
Well, John,
yeah.
You know who is dead last against quarterbacks in fantasy football right now?
Who's Philadelphia?
It's Philadelphia Eagles. Yeah. Their secondary's banged up. They've been pretty bad against receivers and quarterbacks through the first couple of weeks.
So. Their whole defense is a hot mess. I totally forgot about that. Thanks for reminding me.
Yeah.
Give me a running back, Justin.
All right. At the running back, I mean, we talked about some of these guys earlier. Listen, I brought this up last week. If you got a player that is out, you know, before game time or kickoff and you have an IR spot, take the time, put him in there, and then go find whatever backup running back is on the waiver wire and throw him onto your roster for the week and see what happens. Week one, I did it, and I have Kyren Williams on a couple teams. Last week, I did it, and I have Zach Moss on a couple teams as well. I missed out on Jerome Ford, but honestly, in most of the leagues I play in, Jerome Ford was rostered since the beginning of the year. So it's a valuable play to do, no matter how bad they may look to you. Look, if nothing happens, you just dump them, right? Which you're going to do anyway. So as far as somebody you can actually go pick up right now, Josh Kelly is a name that has to be said because he's still available in 30-some percent of leagues. So, I mean, I'll throw the low-hanging fruit out there. And then I'm going to go with my man, Jaylen Warren. If for some reason he is still on your waiver wire, go grab him. I drafted him in almost all of my leagues. I have Jaylen Warren all over the place. And again, we talked about it earlier. He could be a flex play for you this week. So Jaylen Warren is my number one guy. He's available in 40%, 41% of leagues right now.
Running back, Jack.
I think Tony Jones Jr. is a good pickup for a couple of weeks till Kamar comes back fully healthy. Had a score or two last week, so he's at least getting the ball. And the New Orleans offense looks, you know, a little better with Michael Thomas and Carr in there than it did maybe last year. So there's going to be some goal line scoring opportunities because they can't outrun anybody right now. Olave looks great. So I think, you know, pick him up, like Justin said, in the stash play. I picked up Jones in a couple leagues. New Orleans offense is going to score some points. So,
running backs, Lyle.
Yeah, we talked to a lot of these guys. You got Jerome Ford, Kelly. I actually kind of like Craig Reynolds just for the 1 week pickup. I don't think Jahmyr Gibbs is going to play as much as, you know, he's not going to be a 75% snap guy. And Montgomery's probably not playing. So I think this Reynolds guy is going to play, and he's available in 90-some percent of leagues. So if you're looking for a deeper league flex option, I think Craig Reynolds could sneak in and score 8, 10, 12 fantasy points for you.
Yeah, I was going to throw out Craig Reynolds as well. Another name still out there. He's a top 24 back right now is Justice Hill from Baltimore. Yes, it's a timeshare with him and Edwards, but Justice Hill seems to be getting a little bit more of the passing volume if you're in a PPR or a half-point PPR league. Gus Edwards does not catch the ball, really, and Hill's got a questionable tag on him, so I don't know what's going to happen there. The other guy, Jack brought up Tony Jones, another guy from the Saints, but this is a one-week deal only, is Kendre Miller. He has not made his NFL debut yet. He may make it this week, and it may be actually a substantial debut, but none of that means anything once Alvin Kamara comes back. But if you've got the injury bug, or it's a one-week plug-and-play deal for sure. Wide receivers, Jack.
Oh, real quick, John.
Yeah.
Huba Hubbard and Roschon Johnson are two more names.
Roschon Johnson. Yes, for
good
sure. Yep, I totally agree with that. Give me a wide receiver, Jack.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Reynolds from Detroit. You know how many touchdowns a guy has to score to get rostered in a fantasy league, but you know, carrying the questionable tag throughout the week. But again, Detroit's offense, John, I'm looking at it the kind of way I do Kansas City's offense. I want some piece of it. It's going to be a high scoring offense. They give up a ton of points, so they score a lot of points, yada, yada. So I, you know, he's available in 65% of leagues. And just side note, last week I had a 4 anytime touchdown parlay in the, New England game. If Mac Jones would have rushed that ball in from the 2-yard line or whatever it was, my $50 bet would have paid off like $8,500. I had the other 3 touchdown scores.
Wow. Wow. Give me a wide receiver, Lyle.
Tutu Atwell. I think he's still available in like half of leagues. I know Nakua's been getting all the limelight for all the targets and catches, but he's been getting his 8, 10 targets pretty much every game, and I don't think that's going to stop until Cooper Kupp returns. And I picked up Tank Dell in the Loon League, and I didn't play him, unfortunately, but I do like having him around as well for a possible flex option this week. And he's available, I think, in about 80% of leagues.
Wide receivers, Justin?
Zay Jones, which you might be able to go, but he's available in over 50% of leagues. He was out last week with the injury. Zay Jones and Kelvin Ridley are the outside receivers in Jacksonville, right? Despite the money in the contract for Christian Kirk last year, he is their slot receiver. That's where he runs. In week one, when Zay Jones played, Christian Kirk was only on the field in 3 receiver sets. So when they go to 2, it appeared in week one, it was Zay Jones with Kelvin Ridley. So I think Zay Jones can be a valuable pickup for you as well. And he finished the year pretty strong last year, too, for those of you that, you know, weren't fortunate enough to get him off the waiver wire late. He had a pretty good run through the playoffs.
My guy is Jaden Reed. He had a very nice week last week. 4 catches, 37 yards, and 2 scores. Got you 19.7 points. Yes, Christian Watson will be coming back, but I'm not sure that changes a whole lot for Jaden Reed. And as we said, turns out this Jordan Love kid is not a bad quarterback. So he's available in about 80% of leagues. Another one to look at, again, injury bug play only. Odell Beckham Jr. goes down. Well, the Ravens plug in Nelson Agholor. I mean, that's a nice insurance policy to have. I think OBJ comes back this week, but if he doesn't, you'll be able. He's available in almost 100% of leagues. That would be a pick up and play option only if OBJ doesn't come back this week. Let's run through tight ends quick, Lyle.
Oh, Sam Laporta, he's available in about 40% of leagues. He's tight end number 5 already. That doesn't say much at this point in the season, knowing that it's been kind of a barren wasteland, the tight end position. But I think he's going to be involved enough, and the Lions are going to throw the ball enough that he's at least going to get you 5-6 perhaps catches or targets each week. So if you can find the end zone, Laporta could be a good play this week.
Justin.
Oh, I'll give you the wild card play real quick, and you can go pick him up right now. Taysom Hill, he had 9 carries last week. I listen, I like the Miller deal, but he's a rookie who missed most of training camp. I don't think he gets a ton of play here this week. I think it is Taysom Hill again, spelling Tony Jones Jr., if I got that name right. And he's available in 90-some% of leagues. I gave you Hunter Henry last week. You're welcome. I hope you listened and you went and picked him up. This week, we talked about him last week. Again, he's still available. I'm going to give you old Turd Ferguson. He caught the ball in week 2. No issue with the dropsies. So Turd Ferguson, you can get in just 81.5% of leagues. Of course, I'm talking about Jake Ferguson, just to be clear for the listeners who don't know about the skit from SNL I'm referring to. So, my name, I changed it. T-John? No, I changed it.
I love it. Jack, tight ends.
Yeah, I'm going to give you a better one. The number 3 ranked tight end right now is Hayden Hurst, Carolina, available in over 80% of leagues. He scored against Atlanta, had a few catches against New Orleans. Now he's got at Seattle, Minnesota coming to town, at Detroit, at Miami, then a bye, then Houston, Indy. I mean, he's got some soft matchups coming up. Bryce Young is starting to get his tight end involved. So I think in a tight end mandatory, Hayden Hurst has to be rostered.
Yeah, and I'll throw out Zach Ertz quick, available in 43% of leagues, and all he does is catch the ball. When he catches the ball, all he does is fall down. But to get 11, 12 points out of your tight end, anything double digits for me is a win when it comes to that. All right, we're going to come back and talk Trenchum and Benchum for week 3. Thanks for joining us on the Fantasy Football Foursome. Time for the final segment of the Week 3 edition of the Fantasy Football Foursome. Again, if we can help you out in any way with your fantasy football this week, shoot us a text, 320-434-1234. It's time for Trenchum and Benchum. Let's talk about the remaining games for Week 3 and kick it off with Indianapolis and Baltimore, Lyle.
Right out of the gate, some questionable action, right? Anthony Richardson, concussion protocol, not sure what's going to happen. I mean, in most leagues, you're probably not playing him anyway as a 12-team league. But if you're in a 2-quarterback or a deeper format, Richardson could be available. If he is to suit up, you could suit him, put him in your lineup. Otherwise, it's looking like Gardner Minshew, which I don't think you're really going to be wanting to play much Minshew mania in week 3. Two other guys to put in your trenches for the Colts, Zach Moss. He's getting all the workload now that Deion Jackson was horrible in week 1, and Moss is now healthy. So I think you can safely put him in as an RB2. And also in the trenches is Michael Pittman. I think he's just a safe wide receiver 3 or a flex. Tight end position, they're mixing in 3 different guys. And one of them, I'm not going to say, he might be a speculative pickup, Kylan Granson. I think he does actually rank as a top 10 tight end, which isn't saying much about the position right now. But he is looking to get a little bit more of the snap share over Mo Alie-Cox and a couple of the other guys for the Colts. So maybe add him or stash him if you got a deep roster. Over to the Baltimore side of things, Lamar Jackson obviously is a start every week. Mark Andrews got rid of that little Q next to his name, questionable. That's a good sign. That means you can put him safely in the trenches. It does look like they're going to have an injury situation with Justice Hill, so maybe bump up Gus Edwards in your rankings a little bit and make sure he's in your lineup. And I like Zay Flowers. I know he had a down week last week, so get him in your trenches along with that Ravens defense.
Baltimore favored in the game by 8.5 points. Justin, Tennessee taking on Cleveland.
Oh, man, this is going to be kind of quick, but Derrick Henry's in the trenches. If you're concerned about the questionable injury thing, he's got the small turf toe, but they came out and said his reason for limited reps on Thursday was a combination of rest in his toe, right? Which means they're just resting him, which is smart. He's in the trenches. DeAndre Hopkins is in there as a flex, and that's it. I don't like Tennessee in this game. Cleveland's defense has been good, and I think they really get to Ryan Tannehill this week. So that's all I'm starting on the Tennessee side. On the Cleveland side of the ball, you drafted him. I didn't anywhere intentionally. But if you got Deshaun Watson this week to play him, if not this week, then, you know, maybe never. Tennessee is the worst defense in the NFL against the pass. Part of it is because they are so good against the run, legitimately good against running backs. So Deshaun Watson, he's a QB1 this week. Amari Cooper, if he goes, which he probably will, you know, he surprised us playing last week. He's in your trenches. Jerome Ford, you're stoked if you got him. The matchup's terrible. But if you're in a situation where you were that high in the waiver wire and you're able to pick him up, you probably need to play him. And I will trench this Browns defense as well.
Chance of rain and in the forecast. Yeah, it's this is going to be a stinker, man. I'm glad I don't have to watch this. I'm surprised that the total was 39.5. Take the under. Well, you do what you want. That's what I'm taking. Cleveland favored by 3.5. I draw Atlanta versus Detroit. Why didn't I know Taylor Heinicke was the backup to Desmond Ridder? And moreover, why isn't Taylor Heinicke the starter in Atlanta? I guess just a question I'm going to have to think about. Anyway, not much happening here in Atlanta. Bijan Robinson is the real deal, and you want to throw him out there for sure. Drake London had a nice bounce back week, but I'm still scared to death of this Arthur Smith offense and what's going to happen there. And speaking of that, Kyle Pitts, yikes, tight end 30 on the season, like has a total of, I think, 8 targets on the season, 4 catches. Guys, we know he's an all-world athlete. We know he had a great rookie year. He's not getting the ball. And if you're starting Kyle Pitts over guys like Sam Laporta and Jake Ferguson, I firmly believe you're doing the wrong thing. He might have a bounce back week this week, but I'm too scared to play him. So Kyle Pitts is on the bench for me. Over to Detroit, different story. Now, Detroit's playing at home. Justin talked about that earlier. They are two totally different teams. Detroit's at home this week. So you're thinking about starting Jared Goff against Atlanta. David Montgomery, I'm not sure he's going to go. Jahmyr Gibbs is, I think he is a solid RB2. Craig Reynolds might be a flex play for you this week. Amon-Ra St. Brown, of course, you're starting him. If he's going out there, he's got a little turf toe issue. And Josh Reynolds is a deep league flex only, just my opinion. And I do like the rookie Sam Laporta. Detroit favored in this game by 3.5 points. Lyle, New Orleans, Green Bay.
Well, looks like we got a few easy trenches for the Saints. That's Chris Olave, who's become a wide receiver one. I know he had a touchdown taken away on Monday night that would have been handy for a few people, but that's the way it goes. I think he'll find the end zone eventually here. And then Michael Thomas, he's been getting enough volume and he's healthy enough to play back-to-back weeks. If you've got him on a roster, I think he's a safe wide receiver three or a flex. But after that, I'm probably keeping Derek Carr on the bench. Kamara's still suspended. Jamal Williams is looking like he's not going to play. That gives you three different options for running back: Kendre Miller, Tony Jones Jr., and probably Taysom Hill, because he did have quite a few catches last week. I'm probably staying away from all three of them just because I don't know if they're going to get enough volume to truly score some fantasy points for you. Staying away from the tight ends in New Orleans. As for Green Bay, they have a lot of questionable players. Jones and Christian Watson both are questionable with hamstring injuries, so you're going to have to wait till Sunday to see if they're suiting up. If they do, they're both starters. But if they're not playing, it makes it quite a mess for fantasy owners. I think you probably do have to play A.J. Dillon if Jones doesn't suit up, just the volume play only. He didn't do much with his 15 carries last week, but I think there'll be volume there, so I think he's probably an RB2 this week. And then I'm probably keeping Dobbs and Reed on the bench as far as receivers for Green Bay. Maybe might be a game where you got to play both defenses. Maybe you got to play the Packers and the Saints defenses this week with all the guys that are banged up.
Green Bay favored by 2, and there is rain in the forecast. Yay. Justin, Houston, Jacksonville.
All right. Old Houston, Jacksonville. We'll start on the Houston side of the ball. I'm trenching Nico Collins. I will consider Tank Dell in a flex if you're in a deeper league. We talked about Damian Pierce a little bit. listen, I'm benching him this week. If I picked up a guy like Jerome Ford or, you know, Kyren Williams or honestly even Zach Moss at this point, I'm going to play him and I am benching Dameon Pierce. However, I have hope for Dameon Pierce. We know the offensive line is in shambles right now. Here's why. Last week, he had 38 yards after contact. His total rushing yards for the game last week, 31. That's right. It's less than he had after contact alone, which means he's getting hit in the backfield on every single rush attempt. Dameon Pierce isn't the problem. He's still running violently. That offensive line gets a little bit better and at least lets him get to the line of scrimmage before somebody's hitting him. And I think better days are ahead for him. So I'm hanging on to Dameon Pierce over the course of the season. I think he's still going to return value on investment for where you drafted him. But moving on to the old Jacksonville Jaguars, a little more exciting. Trevor Lawrence, also been disappointing through 2 weeks, but you got to trench him. Breakout's coming. Travis Etienne, great matchup. Great daily play as well. Love him this week. Calvin Ridley is in your trenches on a bounce back, hopefully. Evan Ingram, I'll put him in the trenches as well. And that's it. I'm actually going to stay away from that Jacksonville defense. I don't trust them.
Thunderstorms in the forecast. Jacksonville favored by 8.5. I've got Denver taking on the Miami Dolphins. Okay, the only reason you're starting Russell Wilson is because this game could be pretty high scoring on the Miami side, and Russ may have to try and cook. He hasn't been cooking much as far as that goes. I'm not certain what Sean Payton's going to do with this guy. Javonte Williams has had not what you were hoping for, at least not what I was hoping for when I drafted him. 44 yards, 52 yards in his first 2 weeks. And I don't know what to tell you to do with Javonte Williams. Put him in the flex, and that's probably the best you're going to get. The wide receiving core is interesting, though, in Denver. Jerry Jeudy not getting the yards you'd like and catches. Cortland Sutton not getting the yards and catches. Then Marvin Mims comes in, catches two balls for like 120 yards and two scores on four targets total. Marvin Mims is a stud, and he's still getting out-snapped by Lil Jordan Humphrey and Brandon Johnson. I have no idea what's going on in Denver. All those guys are flex plays only as far as I'm concerned. I am not an Adam Trautman fan as well. Miami, though, you're starting Tua. You're starting Raheem Mostert. You're starting, of course, Tyreek Hill. I don't think Jalen Waddle is going to play this week. So that's the end of that area. Durham Smythe still running the most routes on the team, just not catching any passes. So you want to keep an eye on that situation if you're weak at tight end. Miami is favored in this game, 6.5 by 6.5 points. Thunderstorms again in the forecast for Florida. Chargers, Vikings, Lyle.
Start them all, right? Everybody's been looking forward to this one. I think this is the highest scoring matchup of the week for bettors, and that means they're playing all these guys in fantasy. Justin Herbert's an automatic. Again, check Sunday morning. If Eckler's in, you're playing him. If he's not, you have to have Josh Kelly, and you should be suiting him up as a very safe, I think, RB2. He might even be an RB1 based on this Viking defense. You're playing Keenan Allen and Mike Williams. You drafted him. You got to play him now. I probably am staying away from the tight end spot. Gerald Everett and Donald Parham have been splitting the work, and it really hasn't been very productive at this point, so I'm probably keeping those guys on the bench. And then same for the Vikings. You're playing all your Vikings. Kirk's playing. You have to play Kirk Cousins. He's number one quarterback in fantasy right now. Justin Jefferson's an obvious. TJ Hawkinson, same thing. I was surprised to see that Jordan Addison actually has 11 targets. I know he's gotten the two touchdowns and a couple big plays, but I was actually thinking he didn't have as many targets. So if he gets even a slight uptick in targets, he is for sure going to be a wide receiver 3, if not maybe a wide receiver 2 play at the end of the year. And this is put up or shut up week from Alexander Mattison. He's only had 12.5 touches per game the first 2 weeks and has done absolutely nothing with them. Now he has more competition and a good matchup. I think this is the week you have to play him as a flex and see if he can actually get double-digit fantasy production this week. And I'm keeping both benches, by the way, or both defenses on the bench, by the way.
Oh, I hear you there. Minnesota favored by 1.5. And yes, Lyle, you are right. Over-under is the highest on the slate, 53.5 points. Justin, New England Patriots, New York Jets.
Yeah, the weekly public punishment broadcast of the week from the NFL
yeah.
here It's got the lowest over under of the week from last I checked at like 36.5 points. I'm sure I haven't even looked, but I bet John's going to say it's likely going to rain on top of it. So let's go in there. Top 10 running back, number 9 on the season, Ramondre Stevenson in the trenches. And if you feared Ezekiel Elliott, who's actually been good and useful for the Patriots, you were a fool, though, to not draft Ramondre because of that, if you did so. He's in the trenches, and Hunter Henry's in the trenches. That's it. Kendrick Bourne, maybe. Devontae Parker, maybe. You know, Juju Smith-Schuster. Who knows? Mac Jones is none of these guys are good enough to warrant a weekly start, which I'm not going to play any of them. Again, like we had said before, Mac Jones is throwing the ball downfield, so I absolutely love the New York Jets defense in this game. And also the Patriots. I'm going to trench at Patriots D also against Zach Wilson, and it's Bill Belichick, so what's he going to do? You're not going to run the ball with Breece Hall or Dalvin Cook. Good luck, Zach Wilson. Try and beat me, and he probably won't. On the New England side of the ball, or the New York Jets side of the ball, you got to start Garrett Wilson and hope for the best. He got you a touchdown last week with Zach Wilson. And he had okay numbers last season, throw it all the different quarterbacks as well. So Garrett Wilson, I mean, he's a stud. He's in your trenches. That's it. I mean, Breece Hall, Dalvin Cook are no better than a flex this week. Preferably, you're able to bench them. New England, it looks like a good matchup. They're 24th against running backs. But again, I think Belichick just focuses on the run and shutting it down this week. So I don't like that matchup. But I'll put them in a flex. And again, the Jets defense.
Dalvin Cook just reeks. Okay, yeah, you're right. 36.5 on the over-under. And yes, 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 a chance of rain in that forecast. Buffalo and Washington closing out the early games. Buffalo, Josh Allen, you're putting him out there. James Cook, you're putting him out there. Steph Diggs, of course you're putting him out there. Gabe Davis, I think, is a flex play this week against the Commanders. And Dawson Knox has a questionable tag, but I like Dalton Kincaid. I've liked him all season. I think they're going to just keep feeding him the ball because I think he's a real playmaker. And I'm not one bit afraid to start that Buffalo defense this week. I think that's going to be the play of the week. Sam Howell over on the Washington side. Sam Howell, again, deep league, two quarterback league, something like that. I don't mind Sam Howell this week because he's going to have to chuck it. And I like the Eric Bieniemy led Washington Commanders offense. I think they're doing a nice job. Brian Robinson, if you drafted him, good for you, especially over Antonio Gibson. Brian Robinson is turning into just a stud. He's healthy. He has, you know, the gunshot thing has gone away, and Brian Robinson is a running back one. I mean, let's just call it what it is. Terry McLaurin is a wide receiver too. Jahan Dotson is a question mark and has been a question mark this season and is no better than a flex play. Logan Thomas, after suffering a terrible hit last week, I don't know if he's going to be out on the field or not. And I think that's it. Buffalo favored by 6.5 points. Lyle, you pick up Carolina and the Seattle Seahawks.
Yeah, it's going to be another tricky call here with the Carolina side of things. It looks like Bryce Young's not probably going to play, which means Andy Dalton, the return of Andy Dalton to football. We got to love that. So probably not playing any Panther quarterbacks this week, regardless of the situation. But it downgrades some of the other guys, especially I think if Dalton plays. Miles Sanders, I think he's a safe RB2 to play. But then you look at the receivers. They got Adam Thielen, DJ Shark, Jonathan Mingo. Thielen had, I think he got the touchdown and had like 9 targets. Maybe in a deep, deep flex situation, you could put Thielen in. And I do have Jonathan Mingo on my radar. He did get 8 targets last week, so he's worth keeping an eye on, but certainly not someone throwing in the trenches this week. I do want to put Hayden Hurst in the trenches, especially tight end mandatory leagues. He is definitely a top 12 tight end and should be in your lineup. For Seattle, you're playing Geno Smith. I think this is a good enough matchup. I think they're going to have a good game out of him, and he's worth putting in your trenches. Kenneth Walker for sure is in your lineup. DK Metcalf is questionable, but it looks like he's going to suit up and play. If he does, he's a safe wide receiver too, as is Tyler Lockett. I think I'm still going to hold Jackson Smith and Jigba on my bench. Just hasn't had quite enough volume yet to really be a fantasy player, but certainly someone we've drafted and are rostering. I'd hold on to him for now. Not playing any of the tight ends or any of the backup running backs. but I probably will suit up that Seattle defense against Carolina.
Hey, here's something for you. Rain likely in the forecast, and Seattle favored by 6.5 points. And at this point in the show, we're going to have to move it over to 941theloon.com or that free 94.1 The Loon app. This way, Nate Thomas doesn't get angry at me for going too long on the radio station. So we've got more games to break down. We will do it over on the app or on the website and bring this edition to at least the radio part of the fantasy football foursome to a close. We want to thank our sponsors, West Central Trophies, ACC Midwest Transportation, Ruff's Wings and Sports Bar, and the United States Marine Corps. And if we can help you out, shoot us a text. It's 320-434-1234. For Jack Culbertson, Justin Havemeyer, and Lyle Dickman, my name is John Jennings. We'll see you over on the app for the rest of the Fantasy Football Foursome.